Is it not a beautiful day to serve a risen Lord? Huh? Man. Today's reading is from John 20, verse 1 through 9. Please turn to John in your Bible or turn to page 880 in the Bibles in front of you. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. You may be seated, and the children may go to children's church.
So what is heaven like? Well, I have some humorous views. Maybe not so humorous. There was a man, and he went to heaven, and it was all the clouds and the angels and all the fluff. And he thought, well, this is kind of blah. Wonder what it's like on the other side. And so he put in a request, and an angel said, "You really want to check it out?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Okay." So to get the paperwork done, they go to this elevator, and it's just off in a corner by itself. And the angel goes to him, "Are you sure you want to do this?" He goes, "Yes." So they get in, and they go down, and they get out, and the angel stands there, and the man goes, "What?" And he goes, the angel goes, "I don't step out of this elevator." So the man jumped out, and it was a party. It was a banquet, a feast, the best food, the best wine. It was just wonderful, and the service, and the women were beautiful, and the men were debonair. And then Satan shows up, and he's got a red tie, and he's in a red suit, and he's nice, he's congenial, and it's just a wonderful place. And the man's kind of scratching his head, and the devil goes, "Whoa, everybody gets it wrong. This is just an ongoing party, and there was dancing, and it was wonderful." And then he hears the elevator ring, and he sees the angel in the elevator and waves to him like, "Time's up." The man's just kind of smiling. He gets on the elevator and he waves goodbye to everybody. And they go back up in the elevator and they get off. And the angel goes, "What do you think?" And the man goes, "I'm going to go back." He goes, "No, there's a moratorium. You've got to wait at least one day and then make a decision." So the first thing the next morning, he runs to his angel, "I want back." Angel goes, "Are you sure about this?" And he goes, yeah, "I'm sure. I'm all in." So they take him to the elevator, and the man gets in the elevator. And he goes to the angel, "Aren't you coming with?" He goes, "No, this is a one-way trip." The guy goes, "Okay, goodbye." Closes the door. He gets off, and he's just pushed out when the door opens. And it's hot, and it's dry, and the wind is bitter, and sand is pitting at him. And somebody whips him and says, "Get to work." And the devil comes up and he's got a fork and he sticks him. And everybody's cursing at him and laughing at him and mocking him. And his head hurts. And he's thirsty and there's no water. And everybody says, "Get used to it, buddy." And he looks at the devil and he goes, "What was yesterday?" And he goes, "Yesterday you were a recruit. Today you're staff." Then another man went to heaven and he was confused because everybody was in cars and Humvees and some had airplanes and Cessnas. And he goes up to an angel and goes, "What's going on?" He goes, "Well, in heaven, how we reward you is with your vehicle. And you're gonna get a Ford Cruze." He goes, "Isn't that a Chevy?" "Well, things are different here in heaven." He goes, But I just thought I saw a Pope and a televangelist, and they were on a tricycle and a skateboard. And the angel goes, that's right. What is heaven like? So Randy, our praise leader, died and went to heaven. And he was getting a tour. And he saw this room that had a big sign that says, judgment. And he was led into the room. And he sees all these clocks on the wall. And some are spinning fast. Well, they're not really clocks, but there's like a little hand, like a second hand, that's going around. And some aren't going, and some are moving. And he looks up, and there's Steve and Pat's name, two guys in the band here. And every now and then they move, you know. They move a little, and then they move a lot. And so he goes to the angel, what are those? And, well, this is judgment. Those are their sin meters. And every time they sin, it goes around once. He goes, oh, okay. So he's watching them and could see when sin and when Steve and Pat would mess up. And then he saw Jim and Nell and Sharon, the other in the band, and their names, but their clocks were gone. And he goes, well, where are they? Well, they died. They'll be joining you soon. He goes, oh, okay, okay. And then he saw Kay Littlepages. And Randy looked at it and he goes to the angel, hey, I think it's broke. He goes, what do you mean? It's not moving. And the angel goes, that's right, that's Kay Littlepage. It doesn't move often. You'll probably have to stand here for quite a while, Randy. And Randy goes, well, I apologize for everything I said about her. And then he's walking around some more and he sees Pastor Doug Mund. And again, there's the name, but it's gone. He goes, oh, so Doug's going to join us. And the angel goes, no, 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 no. What do you mean? Well, Doug's a little different. We took the cover off and the big guy's using it for a fan down in the office. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, in this glorious Lord's Day, we wonder the resurrection, what it brings and what eternity is like. And Lord, let us look to your real view of heaven and eternity. The humor is funny, but Lord, we seek the reality of the risen Lord. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen and amen. So what does the resurrection bring? As we turn to 2 Corinthians, I'll read 2 Corinthians 5. It brings some clarity what heaven and eternity is like. Begins in verse 1, for we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. I see this as referring to our new bodies. Meanwhile, we're in our old bodies. Like, my knee hurts this morning. Some of you, your elbows hurt. Your body hurts. No matter how young or old, our bodies are getting older. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly bodies. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. It's as if when we go to heaven at first, we're not in our heavenly bodies, we're naked, and we're going to come later and get our new bodies. He goes, for while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwellings, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. These bodies are great. They're wonderful. The amazing things they can do. Our brains and our flesh and our blood. Like when you see the Olympics and you see what people can do with their bodies, but yet they age. And age will always win. And men have this thing called furniture disease when their chest falls to their drawers. It happens. You can't fight it. And we see that Jesus got a new body. And in the same way, we will get a new body. After Jesus was resurrected, his body was different. It was still a body. It's a mystery to understand. Now, the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us a spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. It's a promise. There is eternity. We will walk in eternity. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. So we walk on this earth. You know, Christ is with us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. But yet, we know we're not really with the Lord as we will be on the other side of eternity. It says, for we live by faith, not by sight, because we believe this will happen. We are confident, I say, I would rather be away from my body and at home with the Lord. It's like, we want to be in heaven now. I remember when I was teaching my son, 3 or 4 years old, about the glory of heaven and how we'll go there. And he goes, well, so Dad, why don't we go just right now? You know, it's a good point. I said, well, son, because the life the Lord gives us, our lives matter. What we do on this earth matters. Christ made us to walk on this earth, to do good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. And we are steadfast and immovable, always working the Lord, knowing our labors in the Lord are never in vain. He's given us tasks to do, and that's why we don't go now. We are his ambassadors on this earth. So verse 9, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. This is our goal, to please him. Now I have to admit, sometimes I'm selfish. I seek to please myself. I do. We all do. We all struggle with it. Jokes aside, I'd like to think my sin meter isn't spinning that fast. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat. And the word in Greek is bima, the bima seat of Christ. It's like a raised platform, a throne, where Christ will rule from. The bima seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, the timing of heaven is hard to understand. When we die, do we go straight to heaven? Is it the new heaven and new earth? When is what? When do we get our new bodies? Are we going to be naked in heaven, not have our bodies, and then get them later? When is the bema seat? When is the white throne? You know, when is the second coming? Is there a rapture or just one rapture? How does that all work? We want to know what heaven is like and how that all works out. And really, as some of these pictures I'll show will demonstrate, heaven is beyond imagination. I mean, how do you describe heaven? I can't even describe the color green to you. I mean, how do you describe green? Well, it's not blue. It's kind of like blue, but a little lighter. You can't even describe a color. How are we going to fathom heaven? Well, there's a book. It's called Bema, the story about the judgment seat of Christ by Tim Stevens, and he tries to give us a view of what heaven may be like, or at least our initial foray into heaven. And I'm going to give you my version of that in the form of a vision, putting it into my own words, with the glory of heaven, which is unspeakable, a light so bright it kind of blinds us, what it might be like. So it was a rough day getting to work. Traffic was a bear. And I had a big contract due. And the boss was pushing me. I mean, a lot of money was going to be coming in if we get this contract. I mean, a lot of money. I put a lot of time into this job. I've been working hard, getting ahead. And the boss is pushing me. You know how bosses can be. Do more, do more, do more. And as I come in, there's Sam, the doorman. I got a headache. I was up late. You know, I quit smoking and I want a cigarette so bad. And there's Sam. Good morning, Mr. Kramer. How you doing? I'm like, the guy is just way too happy. You know those people. They're just too happy too often. How's the Lord blessing you today? We go to the same church. I try not to go in his door at church. But the office, I have no choice. Mr. Kramer, the Lord's doing wonderful things today. I know there's a big contract, and I've been praying for you. I go, thanks, Sam. And I'm like, Sam, take a chill pill. So I get in and I go up the elevator and I get into work and I'm early and no one's else really there yet. And I've got to get on my computer. And then the cleaning lady shows up, Mrs. Yeo. And I give her that, I'm busy, look. You know, you put your head down and you start typing and act like you're reading. You know, it's like if you stare at the screen hard enough, people will know you're working and they'll leave you alone. Oh, not Mrs. Yeo. I'm going from Sam to Mrs. Yeo. Good morning, Mr. Kramer. I hear it's a big day for y'all. Oh, yeah, it's a big day. I'm really busy, Mrs. Yeo. You know, I've been praying for your children. I saw your one daughter had that piano recital. And your other daughter had that big tournament. I know, wasn't able to make it, but, you know, they're good kids. Mr. Yeo, you're a good man. You're a good father. She went to my church, too. She goes, I see you at church with your family. I'm glad you bring them every Sunday. Thank you, Mrs. Yeo. You know, she comes up to the desk and she stops. And I just want to keep going, Mrs. Yeo. Keep going, Mrs. Yeo. I really got to get to work. And I'm sorry to bother you. She's really apologetic. And, you know, then she spends more time apologizing. I'm like, just please stop apologizing. Keep moving, Mrs. Yeo. You have a good day, Mr. Yeo. God be with you. Well, you know what? I don't get to the big meeting. I have what's called the widow maker. They say, after Miss Yeo left, I was on the ground like in 5 seconds. Paramedics didn't even try reviving me. I was stone cold dead. And then I was in heaven. Glory to God, I am walking on the golden streets. You know, heaven's so rich, they use gold for asphalt. It's beautiful. And I'm getting a tour. My angel comes and starts giving me a tour. And I go, wait a minute. Just want to make sure, you know, I heard a pastor preach about tricycles and skateboards. No, that's not true. And there's no sin meters up here with clocks. No, none of that stuff's true. So he's giving me a tour and it's really great. And I go, so like, you're an angel. You understand things about heaven. He goes, yes. So what's going on? Well, you know, Christians are up here and you're going to go before the bema seat of the Lord. Well, before we get there, can I ask you some questions? He goes, sure. He goes, you know, this whole thing about free will and God's sovereignty and young earth and old earth and evolution and how does that all work? And the rapture or not the rapture? And when's the timing? And the angel explains it to me and I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense. That's so cool. I wish I would have figured this out on earth. I go, what about theodicy? Everybody's always, I know this atheist that he always says, the problem of evil, like, how can such a good God, you know, and he explains it. I'm like, oh, I get it. I go, I got one more, the Trinity. And then he goes, oh, even us angels don't understand the Trinity. That's God. That's above our pay grade. I mean, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they're all one person, but the man, we're going to be up here a long time, but, you know, we just don't know. Nobody can understand it on this side of eternity even. So, I'm at work, and then the next second I'm in heaven. And, you know, in heaven, time is so different. You know, it's like everything's happening at once, but everything's different. And it's like there's different colors, and your mind's reeling. And, you know, God's outside of time, and now heaven's kind of outside of time. And it's like, how long have I been up here? Because I realize I am now walking in eternity. It's beginning to dawn on me. And then this guy walks up to me, and he goes, I'm Shotaro Kutsiai. And he goes, where and when are you from? I've never been asked that before. And I go, well, I'm Kramer. I'm from the early 21st century. He goes, ah. I'm from the late 1500s from Japan. I go, really? They had the gospel in Japan? He goes, yes, for a brief 40 years, priests had come and had come to our small village. And they were chased off, but in that short time, I became a believer. And it was very, very difficult because then they wouldn't be back for hundreds of years. And my family suffered greatly for being Christians. And And I even debated raising my family as Christians because I knew the cost living in this world. And it was amazing. I mean, and he goes, what you'll find out is heaven's kind of like from here, from earth to heaven, it's like mountain peaks. See, if you look and you see mountain peaks, you see the tops. And you don't always know how close the peaks are or how far apart, and you don't know what happens in between. That's kind of what the Bible's like. You only get the top pieces, and you don't know the timing. And I'm like, that makes sense. He goes, so up here, it's going to be surprising. You'll see all kinds of different things, like you and me here being 500 years apart and here together, and you know, because we're at the end of days. And then we heard a trumpet. And he goes, it's time for the Bema seat. I've been here a while and waiting for it. Well, I really don't know how long I've been here. I don't know if it's really been 500 years or longer. I don't know how long it's been going down on earth. So it's time. And then our angel comes up and takes us to the Bema seat. And again, it's heaven, so it's like we're all right there and have front row seats. But there's billions of us. You know what I mean? That doesn't work. But in heaven it does. And the Bema seat was about how you lived your life on earth. It was for Christians. It was your rewards. So I go to my angel. Yeah, so that thing about that pastor said about, you know, hell and heaven and, you know, yesterday you're a recruit and today you're staff, that's not true. And the angel goes, well, actually, it's a little more true than we care to admit. I was like, oh. I thought he was going to say, yeah, another joke. But he goes, no, that's a little more true than you want to know. So he goes, now the Bema seat is your rewards in heaven. It's about the life God gave you and how you used that life. It's about stewardship. You know, you're believers. He was talking to a group of us. You're believers. You're in heaven. And you know, again, you know, Shotaro and I were talking. It's like, it's weird. We're in heaven. There's reward. I mean, if you had $1 billion and somebody had $1 octillion, that's from, you know, a billion, trillion, cinquazillion, hectillion, sextillion, gazillion, octillion, you know, what does it matter? But the angel goes, you're right. You're all rich. But yet, it matters. It's one of those mysteries of heaven again. You're all rich, but man, some of the rewards are different. It matters. What you've done on earth, what you did on earth, he looks at us, mattered. God was watching, and it mattered. And there's rewards. There's crowns of righteousness. And so suddenly the trumpet blows again, and we're all there, and we can all see, and yet we're, you know, it's like there's miles of us, but we're all front row. Never worked that way for concerts. I was always in those back seats, you know, the blood nose seats, they'd say. And then we hear a name, Germanicus Flavus Remus. And he went before the Lord. My angel goes, yes, this is how it works. I go, this is going to take forever. And he goes, well, everything is happening individually, but everything is happening at once. That's not possible. He goes, remember, you're in heaven. So we're all getting to see this. And Germanicus goes up before the Lord Jesus, and it's judgment on what he did with his life. And it's almost like we all get to see his life on a screen, but don't worry, his honeymoon's not on it. We're in heaven. And it's like we all see his life. And Germanicus was a Roman soldier. He was brutal. He was the captain of the Praetorian Guard, and he beat people. He enjoyed it, and he taught others to do it. And then his wife met this man named Paulus, and she got saved. And so he beat her too. And she wouldn't quit. And Germanicus got saved. And Germanicus is like, my God is a God of second chances. And then Germanicus and his wife led home churches. And yet, his own people turned on him, and he was kicked out of the military, and he never regained his former status. Him and his wife had a small little church in their home in the country, and they had some small farming, small crops and animals, and They were poor but very happy. They led a church. And then he heard the Lord say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." And he gets a crown of righteousness. And then I hear the names Perpetua and Felicity. This is like in the 300s. Perpetua is a noble woman. Felicity, a slave girl. And they were both thrown to the lions. Felicity was pregnant. And the Romans and their decorum and modesty wouldn't throw a woman who was pregnant to the lions, so they waited till she gave birth. And yet they were willing to be martyred. They were told, Perpetua's father told her, recant, deny the Lord. I've made a deal with the guard. I can get you out. And Perpetua and Felicity stood there and said, no. And he goes, I'll let Felicity go with you. I'll get her out. And Felicity goes, no. Perpetua goes, no. And they were thrown to the wild beasts. Well done, good and faithful servant. And they were given crowns of righteousness. Then I heard the name Hudson Taylor, Gladys Allward, missionaries. Hudson Taylor went to China and he was chastised by his own fellow missionaries because he started dressing like the locals and acting like them to reach out to them. They joked that he'd gone native, but that's how you reach people. You become like them. And Gladys, as a young woman, traveled all across Russia from England to get to China to be a missionary. And at first they welcomed her by calling her a devil. And she took in their children and she taught them. Marched some 100 kids through the nights and days to get them from the Japanese soldiers and collapsed when they got to safety. And the Lord looked at her and looked at Taylor and said, well done, good and faithful servant. Crowns of righteousness. There was Sam Johnson, a slave in the antebellum before the war period. He was a butler. And unbeknownst to his master, he ran a church at great risk. And as a butler, he had it good as a slave compared to the others. And if he was discovered, they would take that away. And yet he risked it all for his fellow slaves. Sarah Mendoza, a single mom in Mexico, raised her kids in the faith, worked extra jobs, fed neighbor kids, took them in, told them about the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Crowns of righteousness. Crowns of righteousness. And then my cleaning lady's name gets called. Teresa Yo. Sam Wilson. That sunny guy at the door. And Teresa prayed more for my kids than I did. And I didn't see the trouble she had at home. Her and her husband were both struggling with illness. They had young kids, and she should have been on disability, but she kept working. I'm the one who blew her off. And Sam forgo college because his parents were sick and worked as a doorman. He led people to the Lord just by being a greeter at the door. Well done, good and faithful servant, your crowns of righteousness. And then my angel said, Sam Johnson, Teresa Yo, Sarah Mendoza, Sam Wilson. When they prayed, demons shook in fear. And I thought, I should have listened to my pastor more when he preached on prayer and Bible. And yet I noticed a trend. The people's names I mentioned, they had received crowns of righteousness as they were before the Lord. It's the Lord who gave them this individual attention to each one. And he loved them. And he loved everybody. But not everybody got crowns of righteousness. Not everybody heard, well done, good and faithful servant. And then I heard my name. Billy Bob Kramer. And the Lord looked down at me and said, Billy Bob, my son. I go, I know, Lord, I'm a hot mess. I got saved when I was 13 years old. And I was really proud of myself on the screen. I remember my friend Charlie. We're in high school. And, you know, he was a little shy and not a great athlete. And none of the girls liked him. But I'd stick up for him. When bullies would push him around on our football team, I'd stick up for him and say, leave him alone. And then my life, I was doing well. You know, life's a roller coaster. Good job, godly wife, wonderful goods, kids, good church. I had a good boss, Bob Milton. He took me in, he was training me. And then Tom Paris from across town said, he noticed me. Hey, Billy Bob, see you're really good at your job. Why don't you come work for me and I can double your salary? Double my salary? The Mountain Dew will flow like water. So I went and talked to Bob Milton, my boss, and of course Bob was somewhat reserved. And I could tell he didn't want to say it, but he goes, we don't trust Tom Paris. And he didn't try to talk me out of it, but I could see he was hesitant. So I jumped ship. And boy, to go from recruit to staff didn't take long. I was slammed. I was working weekends. I was working holidays. It was never good enough. But he was right. The money doubled. Bigger house. Four-car garage filled each bay. We didn't have cars. We had sports cars and Humvees and Escalades. And then one day, Tom Paris asked me about some of my old clients. And I said, well, I'd made it with Mr. Milton, I made an agreement that I wouldn't poach any of his clients. And Paris gave me that look like, dude, you're working for me now. You know how we do business here. Took his clients. I'd worked with him. I'd worked with him for years, so they all knew me. It was really easy. Sold my soul for tens of thousands of dollars, I guess. It hurt Bob. He had to lay people off and he had to reorganize. But hey, I was the big boy at the office Christmas party. Friends with the pastor at church. When bonuses were handed out, I was first in line. I admit I missed a lot of my kids' school recognition, school plays, spring events. Hey, but I provided a good home and nice cars. As I stood before the Lord, I could tell he loved me. He looked at me. Now, I'm in heaven, but yet I could sense the Lord was grieved, and I could feel it too. There was no well done, good and faithful servant. No well done. No crown of righteousness was offered. And then Jesus actually said what I was thinking. He said, God gave you so much, a wonderful family, a great job, an opportunity to serve in your church, and yet you serve more at work. Good friends, a lady at work who took more care of you than you knew and to pray for your children. A man at the door always greeted, and I sent him to encourage you. And yet you kind of ignored them. They both prayed for your kids more than you did. No well done, good and faithful servant. I received no crown. I was walking in glory. The Lord loved me. Jesus is sitting there. And then a trumpet called, and everything changed, and suddenly we were in worship. You know, in heaven, everything happens together, and people are throwing their crowns and laying their crowns down at the feet of Jesus. And I had no crown. And then we went back to names again. Crowns of righteousness given out, and other people like myself, no crown. And I started thinking to myself, I need a second chance. I want to be able to give a crown. And I had no crown. If I could only do it again. But I was in heaven. I was in eternity. I had been given so much, and yet I was so nearsighted and so selfish. The Lord loved me. I'm walking in eternity. But I could see in the Lord's eyes when Jesus looked at me how much He loved me. And yet I saw how much I'd missed. It was strange to be in heaven walking in glory, to be fulfilled, and yet realizing so many missed opportunities. I'd wish I'd had more of an impact on my own children's life. I wish I hadn't blown off so many people like Sam and Mrs. Yeo. I wish I had a crown to lay down at the throne of Jesus. And then another trumpet started blaring. I thought, oh, it's time for worship. But the trumpet kept blaring and blaring. And it was different. And then it became more of a rattle. Because it wasn't a trumpet. It was my alarm clock. And I woke up. And I remember what Germanicus had said. God is a God of second chances. I had gotten my prayer. I had another chance at life. I had another chance to make an impact on this world. Another chance because my life in Christ and what I do here matters. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we listen to this message, a vision of heaven. Lord, where we're all at, we don't know. But Lord, I pray we'd all hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, let us all prepare us to walk in eternity and to see your face. We say this for your name and glory. Amen.